It is good to be here in the Frederick Church. Thanks, Steve and Martha. I enjoy our partnership in the gospel. And I know Steve and I, we hung out this past week for probably like 2 hours. It's funny, not only about partnership, but since we moved there, I've heard we oversee the East region. And so many times the church keeps saying we miss our brothers and sisters who moved to Frederick. So the church misses you. And to come here, I feel like, okay, I can bring back. Well, I was there, and everyone says hi. So can y'all say hi?
Hi.
Even if you don't know them, just say hi.
Hi.
I don't know why you're saying hi. It's not got recorded or anything, but I don't want to be a liar, so I can say they said hi. But it's good to see everyone. Before we get started, you can turn over to Acts chapter 2. I believe we're in the book of Acts, right? So I do want to just share a few things from the book of Acts, but can I share some good news first? Because
yes.
If you say no, I'm going to still share it because I'm up here. But one of the things that we've been praying about is starting a new small group in an area called Greenbelt. Some of you guys know Greenbelt. So we're trying to expand from all through PG County and then also into D.C. So this past year, we started a new small group in Greenbelt. The first 2 months, we just went and we shared our faith. And then we decided we're going to have our small group Bible talk, right, in this most amazing place. It's called Wendy's. Right? When you talk, you're talking about upper. We really go high, right? So the whole thought of having a Bible talk in Wendy's makes people feel like, I don't know about this. But for some reason, this is our second time, we have our Bible talk. We go to the back. We pull all these chairs together. And for about an hour and a half, I'm not lying to you. It's almost like nobody comes into Wendy's, like all of our place. Soon as the Bible talk is over, people flood into Wendy's, right? But this past week, this kind of us starting to plant a small group in Greenbelt, we had about, it's probably like 20, 25 people there. We packed it out. About 8 or 9 visitors came out. And then afterwards, I wish I had taken a picture. I did take one. I should have put it on here. But you see, it's like we took over the whole Wendy's and people were coming in. They were like, hey, are you a church? And it was like, hey, I want to come next time. But it was so inspiring to be at Wendy's, right? So I think God is speaking to us through Wendy. So I don't know who Wendy is, but I pray that Wendy becomes a Christian too, wherever she's at. But I'm just really encouraged. That was this past Friday. But to really see God moving that way and seeing the disciples' faith, it was really inspiring because everybody felt, honestly, I know it because I felt it. It's like, really? We're going to do this at Wendy's and not a house. I'm like, let's be public with our faith. And now we have one at Wendy's and the other Bible talk met at IKEA. So hopefully we'll get some cheap furniture and we'll have a good time. But this morning, I do want to share. You guys in Acts chapter 2? I think I'm in verse 1 today. Is that right, Steve? No, I'm just kidding. I know.
Sure.
I know. But I do want to change, if you don't mind, I want to change just my tone just a little bit. One of the things, there's some stuff that's been on my heart probably for a while. I was talking to me and one of my friends in Hampton Roads. I was talking to Ed Anton. You guys may not know him, but we were talking and we were kind of sharing a little bit of things, something that was a little bit frustrating on both of us. This past year, or probably even in the past few years, it gets a little bit frustrating when you're praying and you're studying the Bible with people and it seems like everybody you're studying the Bible with and you're preaching the gospel and it feels like nobody wants to become a Christian. And I know it's not true, but it feels that way, right? And we were just sitting there and we were talking and we were just sharing. It's like, man, we study with so many people, but so few people want to become Christians. And, and I looked and I'm thinking, well, why is that? The world is probably, I don't want to say it's more wicked because the world is always a mess. But it seems like when you turn on TV and you say there's so much corruption, there's so much wickedness, there's so much abuse, there's so much division, there's so much hatred. It seems like of all the places, people should be rushing into the church. It seems that way, right? Every time it's got to a point, I'm tired of looking at TV. Every time I turn on CNN, something is happening in schools, and I'm like, I'm just sick of it. But it seems like to me that if there's any time in history as media has, this stuff's always been going, but as media has put it on TV, the church should be so full because people are like, I need hope. But it seems the complete opposite. And I feel that way in Montgomery County. I feel that, I mean, for the years, I'm thinking like, man, and you study the Bible with someone, I'm like, this is the truth. This is the gospel. This is hope in Jesus. And they don't want it. And I think, so part of my heart, I feel that in a very, very deep way. And I know even as we get together as a staff, we feel that together. It's not an issue of not sharing the gospel, but there's something there where people are not, it seems like they're not open. Am I by myself? Was it just me? All right, because I'm looking at you so you can, you know, I can talk to you. You know what I'm saying, right? But then I thought about this and I looked this up. It says 10 reasons. And I said, so why? You got to ask questions. Why? Why are people not coming to church? Why are people not seeking Jesus? And I read this thing. It says top 10 reasons why people believe the church has been broken. This church is broken. Do you want to hear them?
Yes.
I'm 25 now, and when you hit 25, you start wearing glasses. I don't see the humor. That wasn't a joke. Okay. I just had a powdered donut on the way over. Top 10 reasons why do people say the church is broken. Number 10, they say it's a lack of giving. And they talk about the sad fact of giving is that so many people simply do not trust God. And I show this picture is because all this talks about how the world believes that the church has become hypocritical. Another reason why people stop coming to church because of all the denominations, all the fighting, all the legalism, they say. Another reason they say is because of church hypocrisy. It says data was given to show that 85% of non-Christians could see no difference between their non-Christian values and their friends' Christian values. And then it goes on in this book, and it says a staggering percentage of Christians saw nothing wrong. That Christians saw nothing wrong with activities such as cohabitation, sex outside of marriage, profanity, getting drunk, viewing pornography. So one of the reasons why people aren't rushing into the church, they're like, why go to church and you're living just like I'm living? Another reason they say why people stop coming to church because there's a diminished view of sin. It seems that in the church today, sin is minimized. Too many are willing to justify sin as Christians in America conform more and more to a worldly viewpoint. When sin is pointed out, there's actually a resistance by some in the American church that you are being judgmental without the realization that they could be offending a holy God. So one of the problems, they say, look, I don't want to come to church because they diminish sin. And I'm thinking, man, even the world sees that. Lack of prayer. People say, a lot of people don't come because of lack of prayer. I do a lot of studying because I'm like, what is it that we, are there some things that I'm doing wrong or we're doing wrong? I know it's all about Christ, but there's some things that's keeping people from coming in. Simply, and it goes on, talks about that, you know, people don't come because there's lack of prayer. Some people feel like the church is judgmental. A survey of non-Christians finds that 87% of them believe the church is too judgmental. A common sentiment is by saying Christians talk about hating sin and loving the sinners, but the way they go about things, they might as well call it the way it is. They hate the sin and the sinner. So people feel like when they walk through the doors of the church that they're not accepted. I'm thinking, man, as a church where a place people should come for healing, do people walk through the doors and feel like, I don't feel accepted? And if that's the case, we got to change something. Too accepting of postmodern philosophy. By far, the most dangerous philosophy of postmodernism is the rejection of objective truth. If truth is not objective, then it's up to the community or individuals to kind of get their own truth. So what may be true for me may not be true for you. This view is known as relativism. If truth is relative to individual culture, then ultimately the Bible is God's word, can't be trusted. So as the church kind of stops holding on to truth, it's like, well, I got my truth, you got your truth. Why come to church? There's nothing absolute. Why even trust the Bible? Does this make sense to you so far? Idol worship. Today's idols are wreaking havoc in American church, from pornography to an increased appetite for money and power. They also add that The anarchy of humanism brings enslavement not just to the individual, but enslavement of the church to the world. Idols. Because I'm not coming to church. Why? Because you worship the same things that we worship. Money and power. Getting ahead. Last thing, spectators. American church is far too apathetic and willing to participate only as spectators. Not all American Christians are like this, but many are far too willing to sit on the sidelines as opposed to following the Great Commission. It's quiet now. You know what disturbed me is I agree with a lot of this. As I read through it, I'm thinking, man, it's sad, but it's so true, right? I'm not saying in every church, but I as I talk to people and I share my faith, I see this, and I'm like, well, if there's no difference between my brother here and this person here, then why, in their minds, why even come? And I want to look at this passage. It's a familiar passage. You're in Acts chapter 2. We're actually in verse 42 through 47 today. And I want to share something, and it's funny, we've been looking at this passage, and it's funny, I've probably preached this passage like 3 or 4 times in the last year and a half, but I read it again, got a whole other insight, and trashed all my notes, and started all over again. Because I think that's why I love the Bible, right? You can read the Bible and over, and it's like, man, something new stands out, right? Even in a familiar passage, something else gets your heart, right? Don't fold your arms. Unfold your arms, man. I see you. I see you. All right. See, I always get on my teams. I love my teams. I'm glad you guys are here. Thanks. Yeah. They may not look like they listen, but they listen. Just to let y'all know that, right? So if you think they're ignoring you at home, they listening to you. They don't want to look. I'm cool. Too cool to listen. But I know you're listening. I got y'all. I know how y'all. I got a team at home, so I know how it is, right? I say, boy, look at me when I talk to you. But then we down too. I'm not sure that's good or bad, but I mean, Steve, you can help me afterwards. But I want to share just a few things, and a few things that will help, as we read this passage, help us to counter our critics, but to be the healthy church that God wants us to be. And I think there's something here. Here's, as I read it this time, there's something here that we must embrace. And I think if we miss this, and we don't get this, and we don't embrace this, there's a truth that happens in this verse. That if we miss the connection, everything the world says is true. And I've read this before, and I think even from my heart, I've missed it. But I'm thinking, wow, when I connect, we become this healthy church that helps the world to see that there's hope in Christ. Amen. And not in the world. Now, I'm going to do something I don't usually do. I'm going to give you all 3 points up front. Here's why. Because my first point will throw you off. And before you label me a heretic, I'm going to share all 3 points up front so you know where we're going. So when you hear the first point, you don't fold your arms or put your hands in your pocket. Oh, you put his hands out of the pocket now. I like that. I'm going to hold them like this now so I don't. That's right. All right. What you texting? You looking up scripture? All right, just making sure. All right. I got you. I told you. I see y'all. We're here. We're engaged. Right? So I get my. I'm just making sure you start. I want you playing video. If I see 2 hands, if I see your thumbs moving, I'm gonna call you out. All right, all right. But no, I'm not calling them. I love my teens. I need to grow up myself sometimes. But just a few things here. My points are the church, the healthy church. Number one, it's all about me. That's why I see you. You're like, wait a minute. I don't know what that means. Where he's going with that? That's why I had to give you all 3. First point is that the healthy church is all about me. Point number 2 is a healthy church is all about we. And the 3rd point, a healthy church is all about Jesus. Okay, so aren't you glad I took you through that? Because the first one, you were a little bit stuck, right? You were thinking, where is he going with that? But let's say a quick prayer, and then we'll just look at 3 points, and then we'll wrap up around 6 o'clock tonight. I'm a guest speaker. I can do what I want. I'm going home. Y'all, Steve will deal with all. He'll clean up everything else. But after this, I'm going home like, how could he? But let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I do pray, Father, that I just pray, help us just to get a few things from this passage today. Father, that that your church is a place that people come to find hope and healing. Father, I pray, God, that if there's things that we're doing that is hindering the gospel from being preached, God, help us to submit to you, to change, to repent, so we can be the community and the church, God, that attracts the lost world to the gospel. God, thanks so much for your scriptures. Thanks for his time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My first point here is a healthy church, it's all about me. You know, in Acts chapter 2, and I'm sure that Steve probably, I think you guys probably went in verse, Peter stands up and he preaches this amazing sermon, right? And he preaches this amazing sermon to his hearers, and as he's preaching about the resurrection. He's talking about your sin killed Jesus. And then he goes on down to verse 36, says, look, this Jesus whom you crucified, he made both Lord and Savior. And then after that, he says, well, look, they went, well, what do we do? And he says, well, look, you got to repent and get baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise for you, your children, all who are far off. And then it goes with many other words. He warned them and he pleaded with them to do what? Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And then in verse 41, it says this. I got to take a step backward to go forward. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. You see, at some point, as Peter was preaching the message, before, that's why I put it at the bottom, before they came into Christ, for a moment, it was all about them. Because as they studied, as they heard the word, and as it was preached, for a moment, it was all about, they realized, it's all about me. I killed Jesus. Do you guys remember that for yourselves? Right? So before you came into the church and you're studying, it's all about me. And you start, and Jesus came to save who? Me. And Jesus died for who? See, I want participation, so I'm not talking, we're together in this, right? It was my sin, it was my pride, it was my rejection. It was all the things that I had done to kill him, to kill Christ. And at some point, when we study the Bible, when you study the Bible, it will all, at some point, it's all about you, isn't it? When you read the Gospels, and you go through, and you study out Christ, when Christ encounters people, you see that too at the woman at the well. For a second, it's like it's about you and your five husbands that you used to have. So at some point, she has the self-reflection about the man who was lame. It says, "Hey, do you want to get well?" For a second, it was about him. We had to look. He had to look at himself. The rich young ruler, Zacchaeus. You read through the book of Acts. I'm building something here because if we get this transition, we'll understand why people feel this way about the church. So at a point, when people first are introduced to the gospel, it becomes about you. I remember when I was studying the Bible, and at first it was like, man, this is great. I'm learning some stuff. It's good information. But after a while, things started to change that I didn't know it was changing. The information started to become about, wait a minute, I think you're talking about me. Y'all not studying the Bible. This is not some good group, and we're studying together. You're studying the Bible because you three are here because of me. And you know, that's a weird change for a second. It's like, yeah, wait, hold on. Why y'all asking me all the questions? Why don't you answer some of those questions? Right? But after a while, it's like, wait a minute, I think y'all see something wrong with me that you're trying to address. And then they start studying. All of a sudden, I start realizing you're getting a little bit personal. Now we're talking about my sin. We're talking about my heart. We're talking about my life. We're talking about my decisions. I see Michelle back there talking about my relationships. She was around. It got real personal. Started talking about my sexual morality. It was all about me. It's talking about my deceit and how, and about my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I thought, wow, this sure is getting real personal real quick. I don't even know y'all. Y'all want to know all this about me. But then it came to a point where I had to make a decision whether I was going to make Jesus Lord or not. And, you know, and I had to wrestle with that because at that moment, it was about me. Even these 3,000 that we read here, it wasn't that they all followed Jesus together. They individually had to make a decision. I crucified Christ. So for a second, for a moment, it was all about you and your relationship with God. Do you guys remember that? Do you guys remember studying the Bible? And all of a sudden, it was like, whoa, wait a minute. You're talking to me in my eternity, in my relationship with God. We're not talking about repentance. We're talking about my repentance and my salvation. It became very personal. And I remember standing at the waters of the baptistry at University of Maryland and decided I'm going to make Jesus Lord. My old life was buried. My sins were washed away. By the grace of God, my soul was saved. But something else happened. Something else happened, and I'm saying I shared all that to get to this. Something else happened that I don't think I got. In verse 41, those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were what? To the number that day. You see, when I became a Christian, before Christ, it was all about who? My relationship with him. I had to deal with my heart. But then it says, for these, when they got baptized, they were added to the number. Something changed. In Colossians 1, it says, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So it started with me, but then something changed. And when I became a Christian, it became not about me, but about the whole kingdom. I was added to something bigger than me. 1 Corinthians 12 says, for we were all baptized by one spirit into one body. So when I got baptized and I studied, and we studied the Bible, it's like, oh, it's my sin. I got to deal with it between me and Jesus, and I got to get this. But as soon as I came out of the water, it was no longer me, but then it became about we. And something changed. Now hear this, and I think the reason why there's so much criticism in the world, because we don't see this change. It starts off with me, but then when you come out of the water, something changes. Now, hear why this is important. Hear why this is important, because now, hopefully we're getting more, now I've pushed you through that, so you're not thinking that he's a heretic. It's not about you, it's about Jesus. I know that. But something happens. When I become a Christian, a person becomes a Christian, we enter into we. I'm setting all this up for Acts 2:42. And it's no longer about me, but it's about us. So why is that important? Because the problem that the world sees is when we don't get we, when we are out in the world. The world doesn't see you. It looks at your life and sees the whole church. So we don't realize it's not longer about me, but now I'm baptized into we. We're a family. We're a kingdom. We're a body. We're a Christ household. How we are reflects every other believer on the planet in God's kingdom. But if you don't get that change, so the problem, the world, when the world sees the church and they see Christians, your hypocrisy, your life, your marriage, your words, your actions all reflect on the entire kingdom of God. I just curse this person out. We curse that person out. Because we're added to something that's bigger than you and me. See, we started with me, but we were converted into we. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So what is the problem the church, the world has with the church is they meet individuals who claim to be Christians. And their life reflects the whole body of Christ, right? But now the same is true as opposite. If you're loving, if you're kind, if you're pure, you have integrity, you show up at work, you don't cheat, you live a life, a pure life, it reflects on the kingdom of God as well. But if we don't make that change from me to we in this individualistic society, if we don't make the change to understand that we are the body of Christ, Why would the church, why would the world want to be a part of that? Now let's read with that understanding, right? Acts 2, verse 42. This is our text. Now look how they talk. I want to, as they talk, they went from individual decision to now everything here is about everybody, not individual. They were added. And then they, not individual, they, all of them devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Everyone, the whole we, all of them were filled with awe. Not just Steve fired up. I'm filled with awe. That they were all, everyone, right? That's an amazing, healthy church. Everyone was filled with awe. And the and at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, all, not some, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with gladness and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. This community, all of us wants to be a part of. I read this, I'm like, this is what attracts people. There's this common community, something that Christ forms through the Holy Spirit, and love and relationship and sharing and caring and giving and learning. Our minds, we can be so individualistic when it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. See, sometimes we read that and think, oh, what that means, I had a quiet time. No, they together. Not I went individually and read, and I went, now please keep having your quiet times. But there was a communal element amongst them. It's not, I'm going to, where are you going? I'm taking communion by myself. When you take communion, you take it with everybody in the room. We break the loaf, the one loaf together, right? But our society doesn't teach that. We bring the world into the church. You know, you'll find individual prayers, but how much do you see people praying together? There's a community. What the world wants is a community. And if we're more individualistic in me, instead of we, why does the world want a me? They can do me by themselves. It's about the we. The earliest Christians lived as a single family. I had an amazing time to go to the Holy Land at least twice. I actually planned them. So in 2019, we're going to go again. So if you're interested in going, I just got finished planning everything. So I'll get the stuff out to Steve. But when you go to the Holy Land and you look where the synagogue is, and I guess this is the synagogue, I just learned this is the synagogue right here, right? Yeah. But when you look where the synagogue was, the people lived, everybody lived around the synagogue. So all the houses are probably about yay big, and they were, but it was like if you had an argument, you know, next, hey, I hear you. You know, it was like, could you keep it down? Steve, just repent. Yeah, everybody. You know, it was like the single, you know. I'm not saying we should all live like that, but there was this sense of community. Everybody was in each other's life. But listen to this. When you live together as a family under one roof, you don't see this chair, this table, this bottle of milk, this loaf of bread as mine, but rather this is ours. The breadwinners in the household doesn't see the money they bring in as theirs, rather than belong to the whole household. There's part of what it means to be a family in the ancient world. Kind of this togetherness, this wholeness, this community. And I'm not saying again that we all got to move in the same complex, but I think we got to learn something here about our relationships. How we are with one another will show the world Christ in a very powerful way. We got to form, the Holy Spirit is trying to form this selfless family. Amen. Romans 12, verse 5. This is the one passage I want to turn to. Because I wrestle with this, guys. I wrestle with what is it that the world needs to see from the church that will attract them to Christ. Amen. In Romans 12, let me make sure I'm in the right spot.
Okay, you know what happened? Verse 5 is right. See what happens when you don't wear your glasses, your nines look like 5. So in Christ we, listen to this. So in Christ, though many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. How do you feel about that? If you're in Christ, you belong to one another. So after church today, say, hey, you belong to me. And you belong to me. And you belong to me. And we belong to we, right? But we don't like that. Well, we can belong as much as I want to belong to you, right? Right, we come into Christ and we're supposed to be part of the number we, but there's a part of us like, I don't want you that close to my life. I'll let you come in just a little bit, but don't get too close to my heart. And that hurts what Christ is trying to build. These are my kids. Back off. Right? This is my time. Don't tell me what to do. This is my money. I'm going to build it the way I want to build it. What are you giving first to God? Well, I do how I feel. Wow. Last time I thought, the Bible said, give my first fruits. I wonder if we're giving, remember the number, the first thing, the number 10, maybe there's something in our hearts. But I think that when we're together, we begin, something happens. And I found this, even as we're working in our small groups and one another, I have found this, and this is, it's amazing. I'm like, I never worry about the baptism. I don't care about that, because I don't control that. God does that. But what we can is us. We can work on us. And I found that as we've come together, as we've been in each other's lives, as we started discipling, as we started bringing sin out, and it's a messy process. At this, I have a leaders meeting back, and we're talking about that even more, because stuff's coming out. As we become this in Acts chapter 2, as we are in each other's lives, and we're spending time with one another, and we're loving one another, and the Bible's open, and we're praying, and we're breaking bread together, and we're with one another, for some reason, more people are coming out to church. I'm like, why? It has nothing to do with other things. It's like when we're close and we love one another, like Steve said earlier, right? We love one another. The world will know your disciples by our love for one another. So here's, have I lost you? Does that make sense? I wrestle with this stuff deeply in my heart. I'm thinking, God, I know this is true. I believe this with all my heart. But what's hindering the world? Here's a question. Do you still think me when the crisis saves you into we? Are you still thinking about self? You know, Satan wants you to be selfish. He wants you to think about me, 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 me. He wants you to think my house, my car, my money, my time, my family, my life, my resources, my gifts, my talents, my choices. I do what I want. The more he can get us to focus on me, 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 he breaks down the community that Christ has formed. If Satan, listen to this. If Satan can get one person, just one, if Satan can get one person, just one person, to be selfish and just think about themselves, he could break down the whole community. What are you talking about? How about Achan? You read Achan in Joshua chapter 7. One guy went and stole the devoted things, and the whole community of Israel, they began to lose battles. 36 people lost their lives because one person said, I'm going to steal when I should have kept it there and destroyed it. One decision, one person destroyed and hurt a whole community. It wasn't until that person was exposed to the community, start to become the whole community that Christ wanted, that God wanted it to be. You think Satan doesn't know this? Satan is so slick. He knows this. He knows scripture, right? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15, I'm almost done, guys. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never! Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two shall become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. He knows that if I could take one member and get that one member into a sin, it'll affect all the members of the body. So So you want to know how the church is doing? How are you doing? Is the church loving? Are you loving? Is the church a giving church? Are you a giving Christian? Does the church care for the lost? Do you care for the lost? See, sometimes we can think, oh, it's the church. Yes, it is we, but you are the church. And what we do is what the church is. Right? If he can get one, if he can get a Christian to compromise and be a hypocrite, it speaks volumes to a lost world. If you can get one like a David to be impure, it can destroy a whole family. I can go on, but there are so many passages. We got to, here's if you leave with anything, we got to fight for this. Amen. Why? Because we fight for this, God will work through there. But if we fight for this, we fight for the 52 passages and the New Testament talking about one another and each other's relationships. If we fight here, if we open our hearts and says, come in, help me to walk in the light, disciple me, teach me, expose me, admonish me, encourage me, love me, carry my burdens, right? Amen. All the one another passages. Amen. We feel humble towards one. If we go after that, we become Acts 2:42. If we're proud, no, stay away from me. That's what Satan wants. No, you don't know me. I've been around for a long time. You don't you disciple me. I disciple. That Satan is like, yes, I got one. Give me one proud disciple, I could tear down a whole church. The church here is only a model of what we seek to become like. My encouragement is, just pray. I'm praying this for myself. I'm like, what am I like, right? We are the church. And I got to constantly pray, God, transform my heart. Transform my mind. Help me to be more like Christ. If every member just did that, we're not going to be perfect. But we will be a church like this Acts 2:42 church. Amen. The last thing it says here in verse 47, are you with me? Have I lost you? Does it...
No.
And it says in verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number those who being daily. The last thing here is this, it's all about Jesus.
Amen.
It says, this Christ-centered community, this joyful, glad-hearted community with this ongoing worship and praise and in the teachings and praying together and breaking bread together and fellowshipping together, this amazing, loving, in each other's homes, devoted, happy-hearted, transformed by Jesus community, the Bible says, the Lord added to their number. It doesn't matter the programs. Now, I believe that they were out reaching out because from an overflow, they spoke about God. But it says God added to their number. And I want to be part of a place in Montgomery County and in Frederick where we're living in such a way that we're living that God says, I'm going to add to that number.
Amen.
Why? Because they reflect me.
Wow. Amen.
And I walk around the college campuses. Right now I'm on this mission. It's a personal mission of mine. The people's kids in our church, between 25 and 35, who have chosen not to become Christian, this is my personal mission that I get. I'm getting with four or five of them right now. Because I'm thinking, like, look, this is us. We can't lose our kids. And I'm spending time, some of them, they don't even want to come to church, but they want to talk. Because what they're looking for, and the more I hear, and there's a young man now prayerfully on one of the, he may get baptized next week, so please pray for him. I don't want to put it out there. You know, you can still people ask him, but I realize as I talk to them, I talk to people, it's like, you know, what we want is a genuine, authentic, real place of worship. I don't want fake. I want the real thing. It's not about perfection. We're all a mess. Welcome. If you're visiting, welcome. We're a blessed mess. If there's anything good, it's because it's all about Jesus. Right? But that's okay, but I'm real about that.
I'm like, I got struggles. People are like, I had this brother say to me one time, he says, do you and your wife ever argue? I said, yeah, but not in front of you. He's like, man, I've known y'all never argue. I'm like, what do you think we're going to do? Even we're in the middle of an argument, we're like, we'll talk later. We'll talk. Hey, bro, we're not going to do it in front of you. But I'm thinking, yeah, we got our issues. Yes, we got to work through our marriage. Yes, I got to work through my heart when it comes down to impure things all the time. Yes, at times I want to go and clam up in a corner somewhere and say, leave me alone, right? I feel I got to wrestle with my heart. But I wrestle with Christ. What we have here is a supernatural. What we have in the church is lives that have been transformed by Jesus Christ. It's what the world is looking for. This is real. This is, I know some of our lives, even just looking around, I know the drugs, I know the addictions, I know the marriages, I know the things sometimes we fight, and the only reason where there's overcoming is not because we're awesome, because Jesus, there's a power. Amen. That is outside of us that makes us amazing, and the world, when they see this genuine, wrestling bunch of people that are together, they're like, I want that. You know, and I think that that's what we, that's a healthy church. That's what attracts the world. That we, do you guys sin? Yes. Get open. You're struggling? Get open. There are some things, you got greed, materialism, impurity. Get open. Because in that freedom and openness, the world sees that and says, I can go there. If you're not a Christian, I don't know everyone here, but if you're not, God is saying, the first point, you got to take a look at yourself. He wants you to be part of His community, His family, experience His love, His grace, to have victories. And I think one of the things I found here 22 years ago is I found answers to my life. I found the purpose of my life is not my engineering degree. It's not popularity. It's not relationships with the world. But I found all of my answers in Jesus Christ. Amen. And the reason why I stay, we go through our ups and our downs. The reason why I stay is because Jesus changed where I'm going to go. Anything outside of here, I know what it's like, and I don't want that. I'll take a messy, you got to know my family in Baltimore. We got a messy family. You know, everybody got that uncle. I got a few uncles and aunts, and I'm like, can y'all go hide in the room? I got friends coming over. We got some of those in the church too. And I just might be one of those, but amen. But if you're visiting, I encourage you to study the Bible. Jesus can change us and do things in our hearts. But hopefully some of these things are helpful. Everything we're doing is about Jesus. It's about we. It starts with me, but it quickly changes to we. And if we get that change from me to we become this Acts 2:42 church. Amen. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you. Amen.